This podcast is sponsored by Stratus. Stratus Foods is the industry partner you can depend on when you're looking for the very best in fats and oils. Our team of expert researchers, developers, and innovators have helped countless businesses just like yours bring their most delicious menus to life. With products that are reliable, sustainable, and ready to meet any challenge, you can fry, bake, saute, and grill with confidence. Stratus Foods, we've got you covered.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a restaurant industry podcast, a product of Nation's Restaurant News and Restaurant Hospitality. I'm your host, Holly Petrie, here with the latest episode. And now it's time to introduce my two co-hosts.
My name is Sam Okus, Editor-in-Chief of Nation's Restaurant News.
And my name is Leanne Zinsmeister, Managing Editor of Nation's Restaurant News.
I just realized I never say my title. I just say that I'm the host, but...
You don't have a title.
We don't give you one. Yeah. No. I don't deserve one.
You have a very generic title. We gave that to you.
It's very true. Okay, so what's up, you guys? How's it been? I was out for a week. So how's life been?
We should turn the microphone on you and ask you that question. Where were you the past week?
Yeah, you've had the most interesting week.
I was in Italy. Yes, I was in Italy. I was in Florence, Venice, and Rome. So, I was enjoying lots of pasta, lots of pizza, lots of wine. It was a truly wonderful week. Lots of ruins, lots of walking. It was wonderful.
Yeah, you really summed up Italy there. Lots of ruins, walking, pizza, pasta, and wine. That's really the essence of Italy, yeah.
I did not want to come back, but I'm here.
Yeah, I can't blame you. Well, that's good. We're glad to have you back. Yeah, Italy's awesome. I went there for my honeymoon and thoroughly enjoyed it. And yeah, that's a place everybody should go.
Oh, I highly recommend it.
I'm also a fan. I went in college, study abroad, so big fan of Italy.
A lot of Italiophiles here. What would you call somebody who loves Italy? You know how like people who love to go to France are Francophiles? What are we if we're Italianophiles? Wow, you guys are really leaving me out to twist in the wind here, huh? Okay, we'll cut that. We'll cut that one out.
No, I'm leaving it in.
Don't mind me.
No, after being gone for a week, I'm going to let you have all of your awkward pauses and just leave them in. It's going to be so much fun for me as I edit.
Do you know how quiet it was when you were gone? Oh, wow. The amount of work Leanne and I were able to get done was... Chef's kiss.
It was a very productive week.
For all the listeners out there, I am quite a distraction. If you can't tell by our podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say nobody.
Oh, you mean the podcast that took 15 minutes for us to start because you were talking about how much you looked like an elf? Yeah. I was talking about how I looked like
Orlando Bloom in Lord of the Rings, because if people are watching this, I kind of do. My ears are sticking out a little bit today, and my hair is long, and I kind of do look like Orlando Bloom in Lord of the Rings right now. So I'm just saying.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Well, before we get too off track, because I could talk about this for a while, let's get into the news.
Let's do it.
So Taco Bell finally opened up their new drive-through model this week after much fanfare, we can say, or too much fanfare. They opened it up on Tuesday. Today's Thursday, we're recording. What do you guys think? What was the reaction to the new prototype? I guess it's not a prototype anymore. It's a real-life experience now.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we've been promised for a couple of years from the industry generally, right? I mean, mid-2020, in the thick of the pandemic, everybody started introducing new prototypes, new drive-through prototypes that were going to be the restaurants of the future. You know, Burger King, KFC, Sweetgreen, Shake Shack. You know, all these brands started saying, okay, well, if this is our new reality with COVID, then we're going to pivot to suburban drive-throughs that facilitate the experience of the future. And at the time, you know, it was fun to watch, right? Because there were some really kind of cool, crazy ideas out there. But I remember thinking at the time, like, is this ever going to happen? I mean, Are they ever going to actually open them? And here we are, they're actually opening them. So I credit to Taco Bell for that, that they actually made one of these cool new prototypes. I mean, look, my reaction to it is, It brings together all the trends of today, the digital ordering and leveraging kiosks and digital menu boards and the efficiency of the restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't help but also think, like, it doesn't even look like a restaurant. I mean, it's almost like a food factory, or it kind of makes me think. I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and I'm just like, this looks like a bank, or like what I drive through when I get to the airport. I'm not saying these as knocks, but it's more like, this is like a food station. It's like, if you want quick, easy Taco Bell, boom. Like, you can spin through one of four drive-through lanes and get your food. It doesn't have hospitality. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that people are necessarily going to Taco Bell or other QSRs for a dine-in restaurant experience where you have friendly faces, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you want to strip all of that out of it and just get right to what's the easiest, quickest, easiest way to get a customer food, well, this is it. I mean, this is the model. So I guess I don't want to sound too down on it, because I think this is a great way to quickly get food to people. But if what you want is a hospitable experience, this is also not necessarily that.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, they do say that their goal with these features is to get people their food in less than 2 minutes. And the average for a Taco Bell restaurant right now is 4 minutes. So they're literally cutting their wait time in half, or they're hoping to, with these features. But I think it's interesting what you said about hospitality. One of the techie features that they're boasting here is that you can video chat with the workers in the restaurant. So if you're in the drive-through lane, you can like see the person you're talking to. If you're inside, you can like video chat with the workers on the second floor. So I thought that was interesting. Maybe that's where they're trying to bring in some of the hospitality. But I tend to agree that I don't think anyone's going to Taco Bell looking for a friendly face. I think they're looking for a late night snack or a hangover cure.
it's like a DIY experience in that regard, right? When you offer totally. The ability to video conference with a worker, and it's interesting too. And I want to make sure I'm not trying to knock Taco Bell in this, because they're following the trends. Because consider the fact that young people don't want to interact with employees. I think I speak for the three of us here, or who are all relatively younger, and I go self-checkout at grocery store. I don't want to drive through New Jersey because I don't want somebody pumping my gas. I generally avoid that too. I mean, I was at Panera the other day, and Panera has kiosks or order at the counter. You kind of choose, and the counter was open, and I went to a kiosk. I'm probably the kind of person that they're designing this for. And even if they do offer you the opportunity to speak with somebody via the video, I am sure very few people will actually do that. So they're following that trend, right? I mean, the fact that people want food in 2 minutes, they want to not interact with anybody, they just want to spin through and get it. And I totally understand. I mean, that I'm looking for that experience often. I guess for me, it's almost hard to call it a restaurant. Again, that's where it's like a food factory. And that is just, I think, where we're going as a society, that you're going to choose either, I want the food factory route where I can spin through, get food in 2 minutes and be happy about it, or I'm going to want to go sit in a restaurant for an hour and have that experience.
Right. They're assuming that their consumer just wants to get the food and then go eat it at home or somewhere else with their friends. And I mean, that's a bet that a lot of restaurants are taking. Sorry, Holly, this wasn't on the outline today, but Tim Hortons is introducing a drive-through only.
I considered putting it on there, so you're kind of
It's, I mean, it's just like so related. I can't not mention it. That's another brand that's saying, hey, we think our consumers just want to get, that one makes a little more sense because it's coffee, but we're just assuming that people want to get their stuff and go. They don't want to sit around here. It'll be interesting to see. I think for a brand like Taco Bell, this is going to be a win.
I don't want to make this too much about me and my experiences, but I need to mention this because you brought up Tim Hortons. Okay, so I now live in Columbus, Ohio, which is rife with Tim Hortons, big Tim Hortons city here in Columbus, including one not but 3 minutes from my house. And so on Sunday, I ordered donuts for the kids, went to go pick up donuts at Tim Hortons and some hash browns and breakfast sandwiches, in case you were wondering. So I bring this up because I ordered on the app, and I, instead of choosing pick them up and drive through, I chose pick them up at the counter. I don't know why. For some reason, I was like, I'll stretch my legs, go inside the Tim Hortons, you know.
After your grueling 3 minute drive to Tim Hortons, you're going to need to stretch your legs.
Felt like I need to stretch those legs. I didn't want to feel like too much of a lazy person. I had all the time in the world. I didn't have a deadline or anything. So, but I get out of my car and the doors were locked. Their doors were locked. So even though they told me I had the ability to go through the drive-thru, pick up my order, I actually could not, or to go inside the restaurant and get my order, I couldn't actually do that. So I got in my car, got in the drive-thru, and I said I have a digital order, and they gave it to me that way. Again, I'm not trying to knock Tim Hortons here, but it's like, I do think we are still in the process of figuring out what all of this looks like, right? We're still trying to figure out, what is that experience that customers want? How do you facilitate? And so I do think there's too much... you can't give them too much choice, right? It's almost like you have to tell them, if you want to order from our app, you've got to go through the drive-through lane. There's not even an option to go walk into the restaurant because maybe they locked the doors. It was early on Sunday and maybe they just didn't remember to open the doors at the time. I don't know. But I do. I guess I am encouraged by all the drive-through innovation because of the fact that it's like, you almost have to just say, this is drive-through only. You're going to come here and have a drive-through experience. Because if you add too many components to this and too many opportunities for things to go wrong, you end up with somebody like me who drives back home and goes, ugh, I got out of my car for no reason. I stretched my legs, but the door was locked. So anyway, that's my Tim Hortons experience. Aren't you guys so glad that you brought it up?
Extremely.
Oh, thank yes. you, Liam.
I love going off book. Don't worry, I'll never do it again.
As somebody who frequents Taco Bell, but doesn't have the drive-through option here, I mean,
nor knows how to drive a car.
True.
Sorry, I had to throw that in.
A lot of people, most people in New York City, get takeout for Taco Bell, which is the equivalent of having a drive-through here. I mean, takeout is the is our New York City equivalent of a drive-through. It's not interacting with somebody. I mean, you have the delivery person, but barely interact with them. It's the same equivalent. It's the not having to deal with, there's no hospitality involved. It's you get your food, you're getting in, you're getting out. You're just literally going in for the food as quick as humanly possible. Like my Taco Bell arrives in 12 minutes. So like that's a pretty quick experience for me.
And you have those pickup shelves, right? For those kinds of experiences.
Yeah, you do.
So many restaurants have the...
Yeah. Well, like Sweetgreen has all those like mobile ordering kind of sites and all of those things that are designed for city people who don't want to deal with people and who avoid the hospitality experience, period. So there are these options that are the equivalent of drive-thrus here that they've kind of created that I think shows that it is super common for people to want to avoid that experience of having to deal with people. It's not just the three of us who are these youngins who think that we don't want to deal with human beings. It's everyone, really. It's becoming this big trend.
And if you're in a hurry, right? Yeah, I mean, this does all go back to the point of, like, what Taco Bell has designed is a restaurant that is foreseeing the future restaurant experience as demanded by the customer. And you're right. I mean, this is already happening in urban locations with pickup. I mean, everywhere, you know, most restaurants now have that sort of pickup shelf option, but that's very popular in urban areas. You know, this is what drive-thrus did 50 years ago originally, and that's what all this technology is providing for today. So, at the end of the day, you're going to choose your restaurant experience based more for the experience you want to have. In less than for, you know, it's almost like, you know, you have your QSR, fast casual, casual dining, fine dining. And I've thought this for several years, even before the pandemic, but it's like those lines start to kind of become arbitrary. You're really choosing the restaurant experience that you want to have, which is more like, can I get it in a drive-thru? Can I pick it up, easily from a pickup shelf, or am I going to sit down there and experience something? That, I think that's more what customers process than necessarily like fast food, fast casual, fine dining. It's not as much of that anymore.
So building off of that experience, let's choose our own experience here. Which story would you guys rather discuss from the outline? Would you rather discuss McDonald's or would you rather discuss Starbucks? We could take a vote.
I think Sam already voted for Starbucks earlier when we were talking, right?
I think so. I think that's the bigger news here. Although I apologize to our listeners that it feels like we talk about Starbucks every week.
We do.
We talk about McDonald's every week too. So
yeah, that's true. All right, there's a lot of Starbucks news.
So we're diving into Starbucks. We chose our own adventure. You guys chose your own adventure. And the adventure is Starbucks' new CEO will be decided in the fall, allegedly. And it will be an outside hire. So there's the news. What do you guys think? Do you have any predictions? I mean, who's available now?
Who isn't available, really? Anybody can pick up and leave their job at any moment.
For Starbucks, I think they would, honestly.
As we've learned.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pinnacle job in the industry, although also a very difficult job. Anybody who takes this job is going to see the history of this position, which is Howard Schultz leaves the position, gives another person a go at it, that person leaves, and Howard Schultz comes back. I don't know Howard Schultz at all. I wonder how much looking over the shoulder. No, not buds. We don't text. Sorry. But I wonder how much like looking over the shoulder of the CEO he's doing. This brand is still so much connected to him, as seen by the fact that he is now interim CEO until this position is filled. So I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being handpicked by Howard Schultz. One thing I'll call out is the fact that it is a it's going to be an outside hire. A lot of companies like the company person, right? I mean, McDonald's was famous for this too, which is you hire from within. So often you get these people who've come up through the ranks, they bleed this brand, and that was their preferred model for having a CEO, but it does not always work. And if you look at McDonald's, Steve Easterbrook was the last one where I think they were just like, okay, I don't think we're going to go with that model anymore. And they brought in Chris from, I think he was with PepsiCo prior to McDonald's. I might be getting that wrong, but he was not a company man, and he's been doing a really great job with McDonald's. And so similarly, I think Starbucks is in this position of saying, okay, well, let's bring in somebody from outside the company, because that person's going to bring fresh ideas. You know, it's not always going to work to raise up somebody in the company, because if they are just sticking to the company line in this day and in an age where innovation is so important, you're not going to be able to think outside the box because you've grown up within the box, right? So I think it's good that Starbucks is hiring from outside the company. Of course, there's going to be a lot of pressure for this to be a woman or a person of color, because Starbucks has positioned itself as somebody who wants to, you know, in particular be leading in DEI and sustainability and such. So I would look in that direction if we're guessing who they're going to hire. I won't be surprised if it's somebody from outside the restaurant industry, because again, for a company that really relies on innovation, I think it will be important for them to bring in somebody really thinking outside the box.
I agree. I'll say about Howard Schultz that the company said, although the CEO will be named this fall, they won't actually take over until the first quarter of next year because they want a months-long handoff process. So I think everything you said, Sam, is probably right on the nose. This will also be a tough job because of all the workforce issues that are going on at Starbucks right now. I mean, and of course, workforce is an industry-wide and society-wide issue right now. But especially at Starbucks, I mean, the unionization efforts are only accelerating. So it will definitely be interesting to see who they pick and how they handle those ongoing workforce problems.
Lots of issues at Starbucks right now. A lot of restaurants have issues right now. We're not singling out Starbucks, but the unionization efforts are definitely ramping up there. We just saw one of the units that unionized close in the past week or two. So they're dealing with a lot of issues right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how a new CEO will handle unionization, if they'll be on the same page as Howard Schultz, if he's looking for somebody who's going to be similar to him in terms of that, or if he's looking for somebody who is going to be different in terms of that. Like, I'm going to be curious to see what he's looking for in terms of workforce, or if that's even part of what he's looking for, if he's looking more for a technology lead, which is really what they've been driving towards. So I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I think, again, this is a coveted job, in that this is one of the top industry jobs there is, but it is, you're going to come in with so many issues right off the bat. One other person I will point to as somebody who I think they'll probably be looking at as in a model of what could be is Brian Nichol at Chipotle, because here's somebody who came into a mess and quickly turned it around. And so if they can be lucky, they will get somebody like that who can say, I've got this other model we're going to shift to, and it's going to quickly turn the company around. So we'll wait to see if they can pull someone like that out.
Could you imagine they would pull Brian Nichol?
He wouldn't
No.
go. No. When Brian Nichol was hired at Chipotle, he was very firm on staying in Southern California. I mean, he moved the whole company around him. Yeah. He's not giving that up. And he's done such a great job. I don't think
By the
so.
Way, guys.
I hope we're not eating our words in 4 months, but.
By the way, I this is the point I tell you that I'm moving Nation's Restaurant News to Columbus. I just don't feel like.
Yeah, we've just been waiting for you to say that, Sam. We knew.
I know. I've been biding my time. I had to get here first, and then I had to bring you guys over here. But yeah, I mean, look, Brian Nichol also has one of the pinnacle jobs in this industry. He's not going anywhere unless it's like, I mean, I think McDonald's ends up being like, you know, that's the number one job, right? It has to be, because that's the number one company. But it is an interesting thing to think about. I mean, although, not to go off the path here too much, but like when you think of Charlie Morrison, who recently left Wingstop to go to Salad and Go, people are not always looking for the biggest company, right? You can get a big salary if that's what you want at these companies. Some people are going to be looking for a challenge. They're going to be looking for an opportunity to leave their mark, to be creative. And so so I shouldn't say that, like, you know, every CEO is going to be jockeying for this position, because the CEO role of any company, you know, you're going to be looking for more than money, more than scale. You're going to be looking for an opportunity to have your vision be, you know, brought to life.
I'd be curious to see if they'd bring back, I don't know if they'd consider this an outside hire, but if they'd bring back Rosalind Brewer.
Yeah, and she's at Walgreens, is that right?
She's at Walgreens Alliance now, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be interesting, especially because she has the experience outside the restaurant industry now that she could bring into Starbucks. Yeah, that would be interesting. But if it was her, I feel like they wouldn't have gone through this whole, we're going to look for somebody by the fall and implement them by next year. It feels like they would have already had that conversation with her and had a plan in place.
It also, in that case, could have been her sooner, because she left right around the same time that Kevin Johnson left.
Oh, did she? I thought she left way before him. Or am I just mixing up my dates? Oh, my God. It's been a crazy year.
I mean, within a few months of each other. I'm not saying it was the same week.
Wow, it's been a year, guys. It's been a year already.
In the grand scheme of, like, corporate time, it was pretty close succession.
Oh, boy. It's been a year. Before I really make a fool of myself, Leanne, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing lately? I want to hear a little bit about what's been going on. I know your parents were in town, so you've been doing a lot of really fun things. Tell us a little bit about some of the restaurants you've been eating at and some things that you've been trying out.
Indeed. So while you were gallivanting around Italy and Sam was fighting off COVID, I was here in New York City with my parents, following many, many negative COVID tests for me, since, of course, I had just been with Sam in Chicago. And yeah, having people in town is always so fun, because you get to go out to, like, that's the only time when I visit some of my favorite New York City restaurants. I don't necessarily go to them on a regular basis, even though I live here, but it's also a great time to try out new places Ironically, we also ate a lot of pasta and pizza that week. So maybe I was just channeling the Holly Italy vibe. And then another note is that my mom has celiac disease, and so we're always looking for places that do gluten-free food really well. So some of our favorites when they visit that we go to almost every time, Serafina, which Holly has written about before. We went there for pasta after a Broadway show. We saw Six, by the way, and we all loved it.
Oh, it's a great musical.
It's wonderful. I'm obsessed with it. Just excellent. And it's a 7 o'clock show, and it's pretty short, so it's easy to grab dinner after. And we also went to Westville, which is one of my favorites. They do like farm to table, really big on vegetables. Don't worry, my dad and I had truffle fries and bacon mac and cheese. So.
Two of your favorites.
There were some vegetables too, but that was how we started the meal. So that's always fun. We also went to a first for me, is a restaurant called Wild in Park Slope, which is near me. And they are fully gluten-free. We had pizza and salads, and it was wonderful and a great discovery for me to find a new restaurant in Brooklyn that I've never been to before, new to me. So yeah, it was a fun like week-ish, and always fun to, you know, revisit old favorite restaurants and to try out some new places.
You guys never take me to your favorite restaurants in New York. I always end up at the same places.
None of our favorite restaurants are in Murray Hill, which is where our office is. But yeah, if you want to go to dinner in Brooklyn, Sam.
I went to Brooklyn last time. I discovered Brett's favorite restaurant, which was quite enjoyable.
You did. Well, Sam, one of my favorites is La Pecora Bianca, which is a really great like emerging chain here in New York City. And they actually have one that's kind of near the office. They have one right by my apartment, which I go to probably once a week. Some of the
is
best.
Is that the one? Is that in Bryant Park? Did we walk by?
It's in Bryant Park. We walked by it. But it was some of the best pasta in the city. It's a really great emerging chain here. They have about 5 or 6 locations in the city. Definitely somewhere that we should take you. It's a really delicious.
Okay, we'll go there next time.
We could go to Serafina, too. They're in Manhattan.
Serafina is also another great emerging chain. I think they have about 9 or 11 units.
I think it's more now. We were looking it up when my parents were here. But, yeah, a great New York City
chain. Great New York City chain. Also great pasta, great pizza. Just
all right, make a list. Make a list.
Yeah. See, you wanted to do... You said you wanted to do this new segment, Sam, but little did we know you were just looking for places that we can take you.
Oh, yeah. No, I hit stop recording. I stopped recording, no. This is literally how I'm getting New York restaurant recommendations out of you guys and making my own list and saying, take me there.
This is just for Sam.
Well, a single unit restaurant, it's not a chain, but a single unit restaurant by me. So I live in Nolita, which is north of Little Italy. But a great restaurant, more pasta and pizza, but is Ruby Rosa. It's really well known here in New York, but their pasta and pizza is spectacular. It's truly just their pizza. They make like this tie-dye pizza, which is regular pizza, but then it has vodka sauce on it, and then it has a swirl of pesto on top, and it looks like it's tie-dyed. And it's wonderful.
Sounds delightful.
It is truly delightful. And it's like right by my apartment and they have outdoor seating and it's like, it's so great. So we'll take you there too, Sam. And it's right by La Pecora Bianca. So we'll go, we'll do a double dinner.
I'm holding you guys to it.
Our favorite activity.
Just keep eating.
Eating and drinking.
That's what we do. That's what we do for a living.
So Sam, what have you been eating in Ohio? I mean, you're telling me about Tim Hortons. What other chains have you been eating at?
All of my experiences are chain oriented. Our audience would be happy to hear because, yes, I with two small children, don't get many experiences out at nice restaurants these days. Although, for those who are listening who are in Columbus, I am taking my wife out in a couple weeks on a date night. Finally, we're going to have a chance to get a date night here now that we have finally settled If anybody has recommendations, email me, please. But I will simultaneously shout out an emerging chain and plug an upcoming podcast at the same time. Here we go. Bibby Bop, which is founded by Charlie Shin, he of Charlie's Philly Steaks. He will be a upcoming podcast episode for Takeaway, so go subscribe and check out that episode. Had a really fantastic conversation with him this morning. Bibby Bop is his Korean bowl fast casual with about 50 locations that he founded, and there's one about 5 minutes from my house, and so my wife and I had a chance to go there a couple weeks ago, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's your Chipotle style, you know, everybody did the fast casualization of various categories, and but seriously, the flavors are fantastic. This is not just some fast casual cookie cutter thing. This is like legit Korean flavors in a bowl. So Bibby Bop, that is my recommendation of the day.
And I can hear your children in the background, so I'm sure that you have something crazy to get to. So I will let everybody go, and I will just say, Sam, before we let you go, can you introduce this week's interview? Because I know that you guys spoke at the National Restaurant Association show.
I'm happy to. You might continue to hear my children in the background because it's lunchtime, but we'll just go with it. This week's episode is Aaron Novoshin, well-known in this industry. He's been in this industry for decades as a leading chef voice. There's my kids. But importantly now, he is founder of Starboard, which is a very exciting, super premium fast food chicken joint, as they like to position it as, with a ton of growth potential. And we had a chance to chat at the NRA show.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you both for joining me today, virtually, no longer in person, but that's fine. We'll be back in person again very soon, I'm sure. So have a great day, everyone. Enjoy the interview. But not today.
But yesterday.
I want to see you every day.
Oh, boy. No.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Everybody enjoy the interview, and we'll see you next week.
This podcast is sponsored by Stratus. Stratus Foods is the industry partner you can depend on when you're looking for the very best in fats and oils. Our team of expert researchers, developers, and innovators have helped countless businesses just like yours bring their most delicious menus to life. With products that are reliable, sustainable, and ready to meet any challenge, you can fry, bake, saute, and grill with confidence. Stratus Foods, we've got you covered.
Sam Okus here with Nation's Restaurant News. I am here with Aaron Novoshin, the founder and CEO of Starboard. Aaron, for those who are not familiar, tell us a little bit about what the Starboard brand is all about.
Sure. I mean, Starboard was founded in 2016. We serve positively delicious chicken. We're a super premium fast food restaurant, integrating technology to create a frictionless experience for our guests. Super premium ingredients. We bake bread in-house, we brine and bread chicken in-house, we make all our sauces from scratch. Really an elevated brand as it comes to chicken.
You guys started in the Bay Area, and appropriately, you're a very tech-oriented business. Tell me a little bit about how digital tools and technology have helped to really get this brand off the ground quickly.
Sure. We started as being technology savvy. We're based in Silicon Valley originally. Our first restaurant was in Sunnyvale, California. And we had an app, a branded app, from the day we opened our doors. And our goal was to really think about how to leapfrog drive-thrus at the time.
Yeah.
And build a smaller box, right, on a smaller footprint, because obviously land is pretty expensive in California.
Yeah.
And also difficult to open drive-thrus. So we've been tech-oriented since day one. We like to think about our transactions as how can we reach as many people in the way they want to be met.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they walk in the door and they use one of our kiosks, whether they use our native app, whether they order through web or mobile web, we want to meet them in the way that is best for their need states.
I remember when you guys got started,
You were careful to avoid the term fast casual, which is a term that everybody uses. You wanted to go super premium fast food.
Sure.
Why is it important to you to position the brand in that way?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. So we are really at the crossroads of fast food and fast casual, right? And we find that we replicate in more of the places we locate are typically in fast food environments. So our first restaurant and our third restaurant were actually converted Pizza Huts that were located in and around other fast food restaurants, but they didn't need that size box anymore for the delivery and takeout needs. So we said, okay, we want to act more like fast food, but really elevate everything about the experience. Elevate the technology, elevate the food, elevate the design. Fast casual is a crowded space, and we found a niche that really fits who we are and how we want to be represented in the marketplace.
And you came out swinging. I mean, you're a veteran of the restaurant industry. This was not just an idea you tripped into. You're a smart guy. You've been around this industry a while. But I get the sense, too, you understood this was a growth concept. So tell me about what the growth strategy has been coming out of the gate.
Sure. You know, Starboard was founded by my agency, The Culinary Edge. And we're largest food and beverage innovation agency in the country. We've been around. It's our 20-year anniversary this year.
Congrats.
Excited to say we've made it to 20. We're almost allowed to drink. We're working on it. Starboard was really the brainchild of the agency. We wanted to create something that filled a gap in the marketplace. So we analyzed and applied our process of innovation that we use at the Culinary Edge to create Starboard. Assessing the marketplace, figuring out the crossroads of highest culinary, scalable operations, and highest use of assets. So our growth strategy is really to continue in that vector. So we're growing with street-side restaurants. We have ghost kitchens that fill in spots in more urban dense places. And we're gonna begin franchising right now, just this May.
Okay. And when you franchise, does Ghost Kitchen come with that? Like, do you give them a sort of a portfolio of concepts that they can open as part of their expansion?
So for part of their expansion, we won't day one utilize Ghost Kitchens, but we wanna grow into our partnerships.
Okay.
And that will be a potential growth vehicle for our franchise partners. The really great thing that they have access to, though, is our virtual brands.
And the virtual brands, what are the virtual brands for the concept?
So Starboard has four virtual brands. We have Starboard Salads, Starboard Wings, Starboard Bowls, and Garden Bird, which is a plant-based vegetarian concept.
Okay.
And the cool thing about our virtual brands is it all ladders into the Starboard overarching brand. So we're able to leverage ton of the great design that we have. We're able to get crossover in our packaging when we're selling things from the different brands. Our iconography and statements, photography, all of those things are really consistent within the Starboard halo.
Yeah.
We're able to acquire guests through all the digital real estate we have with our virtual brands and introduce people to Starboard, because people may never step into one of our restaurants. And the new real estate very much is digital.
Right.
We are able to get great SEO, and people can find Starboard through a lot of different means.
All of this says to me that your expansion must be limitless in some way, because you don't have to find the A-plus location on Main and Main in the city anymore. You can kind of diversify your growth strategy, right?
Sure, exactly. And I think we have a hybrid model. We are looking for high-profile street-side restaurants, and we'll continue to grow, not just franchise restaurants, but we're opening a lot of company-owned restaurants. We've got three opening in the Los Angeles area. We've got one in Hermosa Beach, one in Marina Del Rey, one in West Hollywood. They're all under construction now. We also like to supplement it with the ghost kitchen places, maybe places where it's hard to get into, but there's high density in and around it. We can supplement our street side presence, because there are a lot of reinforcement that people have as they leave their homes and they're on the road.
Yeah.
And then when they get back online, there's a great recognition of the brand that we have.
Sure, yeah, yeah. All right, so we got to get into the challenges facing the industry today. Let's start with chicken. Chicken is, I mean, the inflation, supply chain, I'm sure you're facing a lot of issues, especially to maintain the quality that you want. How are you overcoming the issues out there?
I mean, fortunately, we have great partners in our supply chain. They're experiencing price increases, therefore we're experiencing price increases. So, you know, for us, it's really making sure that we're focused operationally. We've got to reduce waste. We've got to tighten up our specifications, lean all our energy into really managing our product. We're also innovating with our menu. So we're looking at things where margin has been increasing. Maybe we want to do less of that. We're creating new dishes that have greater margin, may leverage into different categories, because we have, you know, like I said, salads, wings, tacos, tenders, where we can increase our margin from some of the things we purchase versus others.
Okay, what other challenges keep you up at night these days? I might imagine labor must be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, we're able to attract talent at Starbird, and we feel very fortunate. We're very much about our people. I mean, every brand often says that. We start every single meeting with our team talking about people. Yep. Everything we talk about starts with people and ends with positivity. Mm. That is the culture that we believe in, that we breed every day. Labor-wise, San Francisco Bay Area's most expensive labor areas.
Yep.
Right now, food cost is more of a problem than labor cost is, but we're always looking for great talent, whether you're in the accounting department, the HR department, or a manager. Starbird's always looking for great people, and we'd love to meet you if you're interested in talking to us.
It's interesting because so many exciting things going on for the company, and yet so many headwinds at the same time. How do you find efficiencies to make sure that you can get through every headwind coming your way?
Well, as I say to our team, sales cure all ills.
Okay.
So right now, our sales growth, which is pretty dramatic, and because we're franchising, I can't share that information with you until you have a copy of the FDD right in front of you.
Got it.
But we've had tremendous, tremendous growth 3 years in a row. We were growing dramatically double digit plus pre-pandemic, right through the pandemic, and right now as we're hopefully coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So right now sales, you know, you don't take percent to the bottom line, you take dollars to the bottom line. Mm. So as long as we can keep the top line growing, we can weather the storm. And yep. we've been very successful at ensuring that we're top line sales driving first, all while engineering costs and menu in the background.
Last question for you, Aaron. What's the opportunity ahead for Starbird? What are you trying to tap into to really get this brand to where you think it can go?
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is to deliver on promise every day,
yeah.
right? And that's what we focus on. Our whole team is there to support our operators. Our whole team will be there to support our franchise partners and licensed partners. Those are the folks that we want to be able to be successful every day. Mm-hmm. We judge our success by the success of those who are on the front lines every single day. And then we want to be smart about growth, right? Mm-hmm. And so California's got a lot of places that we can move into, and we're looking for great spots there, and we'll continue to grow company-owned restaurants. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also invest in the asset-light approach with getting franchise partners in key markets that we can serve well.
Yeah. Aaron Novishin, founder and CEO of Starbird, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
great
it, Aaron.
To see you as always, Sam.